begin.
Thank you, Alan. I'll get the recording started now. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the ALAC Leadership Team meeting on Thursday, the 8th of October at 21:30 UTC. On today's call, we have Alan Greenberg, Holly Raich, Olivier Crétin-Leblanc, Tijani Benjamin, Julie Hammer, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Maureen Hilliard, Vinatius Eziama, no apologies noted. Leon will be joining us a little late. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Young, and myself, Gisela Gruber. So I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. Can we agree on the agenda, presuming we are interchanging items 1 and 2, since I think we always do the roll call before we do any welcome, and subject to anyone else wanting to add or change anything else? Hearing no voices, seeing no hands, we'll accept the agenda as modified. And I don't normally do a lot of introduction, but I will for a few minutes today. This is scheduled to be a short meeting. I think if you add up the times, it's 65 minutes. There is enough of interest on it that it will remain to be seen whether we'll actually do it in that amount of time or use the full hour and a half. I certainly don't plan to use more than that, if at all possible. I will give you fair warning. I am working on a short temper. In the last 3 days, I have had 22 hours of conference calls and a 7-hour very intense face-to-face meeting. So I have had very little sleep, and my nerves are very raw. So I give everyone fair warning. Subject to that, however, there's some interesting items on the agenda today, and may we start with the policy development activities. Now, there are a number... Sorry, who was that? I guess there was no one. There are a number of items which either have passed their deadlines or are very close to the deadlines. I have paid much less attention to this than I should have in the last week, so I suspect there are some that may be near or in crisis mode. So, Ariel, as you go through them, please identify the ones where we're just chugging along and where verify the ones where I or other ALT members need to pay some very quick attention to them. Thank you, and over to you, Ariel.
Thanks, Alan. This is Ariel speaking. We're not that bad in shape. Only
good.
Two statements are in somewhat of crisis mode, but they're controlled crisis. So the first one is the use of country and territory names as the top-level domains. Marine already finalized the statement, and it's published on the wiki. We just need you to take a final review of that. And if you think it's ready for ratification, we can do that. And most likely, we need to submit to that statement before ratification.
Okay,
so
noted.
That's the first one. And then the second is about the Arabic root zone labor generation rules. We just need a final verdict from you whether it's going to be a no statement or not.
Okay. I'd like to have a very brief discussion on that. There have been two documents submitted, one a set of notes from the person that we appointed to the IDN review group, and one from Mohammed, I believe, if I remember correctly. The one that was submitted by our the Arabic expert and the person for the group. Sorry?
His name is Wayo.
Wayo, sorry. My brain is not functioning at full capacity. Essentially, if I can summarize it for those who haven't read it, he was part of the process. He strongly disagrees with the methodology they have used and has suggested a methodology which would require a variety of things, including artificial intelligence in deciphering things that people type in to see how to translate them. It factors in the fact that Arabic is used differently in different regions and in different languages. And from my point of view, I think that there's no basis for the ALAC making that as a statement. It's a personal view. It's not clear that it's supported by a lot of other people, and I would have a lot of difficulty with the ALAC making that statement. Mohammed's position says it's a well-crafted statement. We could support it and thank the people for their work, but that's really all. So I don't feel strongly that we need to say that, but I have no problem saying it. Given all the rest of the things we're into, I'm not sure we need one extra task on our plate. But I'm willing to ask Mohammed to quickly craft it into a statement if the belief in this group is that we want to go ahead and submit something. I would appreciate input. There's a tick mark from Holly, but I'm not quite sure if she's saying we want a statement or we'll waive on it, we'll pass on it. Anyone, or are you delegating to me to make a decision?
Hand up, Alan.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. And Cheryl, for the record, and I apologize, I'm still in a noisy environment, albeit domestically, and I'm not in the Adobe room yet, but I will be shortly. I actually think because there is a small minority view or personal view, as you've outlined it from my ear, in our possession, that to ask Mohammed to craft a very, very high level, basically to say, you know, this is the ALAC, this is who we are, the usual preamble, and, you know, how fellow well met, may indeed be useful, simply because it will show that we, like we did with the Armenian scripting, we'll take the lowest common denominator approach to these things, where if there is not a clear majority view, we either make no statement or follow expert guidance. And in this, I think we should go with Mohammed in expert guidance. Thank you. I'll go on to mute now.
Thank you. I can certainly support that. Everyone else willing to support that as well? We had Jani and Holly say they were supporting my let's not do anything. I see a bunch of tick marks. Okay. I'm going to suggest that I will look at the statement that Mohammed wrote. And Ariel, I ask you to do the same thing. And the two of us can talk very briefly shortly after this meeting, but not very long after it, to decide whether, in fact, Ariel can craft something out of what Mohammed said, or we need and then get him to agree to it, or whether we need to go back to him to actually write something. So with that going forward, I think we've made a decision. Ariel, back to you.
Oh, thanks, Alan. So besides these two statements, we have two other that are under development. One is on the preliminary issue report on UGTLD subsequent procedures. Olivia already posted the first draft, and we're going through a commenting process. So we're just keep refining that until the comment period close, for the internal comment period close.
Okay.
And I think I need to work with Olivia and Carlton about that, because Carlton sent some more additional comments, and I think, Olivia, you wrote an email that you want to work together to incorporate those comments. So, yeah, now we'll touch base with you after this call. And
okay.
The second one is the new GTLD auction proceeds discussion paper. Eduardo is finalizing the statement. We should see the final draft today or tomorrow, and the vote is scheduled to open on the 10th, I think. So we'll start finalizing, ratifying that statement soon. But the comment period will close in November, so we still have quite a bit of time before the comment period closes.
Okay, thank you, Ariel.
Oh, I haven't finished.
Oh, sorry.
There are two more new public comments that require decisions.
Just one moment. Olivier, did you have a comment on one of the existing ones?
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanoblo speaking for the transcript. And on the preliminary issue report on new GTLD subsequent procedures, Carlton has incorporated the comments that were received after the first draft into a next draft and has shared it. I'm fine with it. We have an extension to the commenting period that the GNSO asked for, which will last throughout the ICANN meeting. So there will be a likelihood that we can have a further discussion face-to-face with the ALAC during the Dublin meeting. But until then, I think what we can do is to probably post the second version, the one with the amendments that Carlton has made based on all of the comments that we've received so far. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I would suggest that would be a good idea. And Holly.
When we get to the who is, can I just have a minute or two? Because right now, even though it's not due until the 17th, we haven't confirmed who's actually doing that, and I think that's something that Carlton and I can do.
Yeah, I think that was what Ariel was going to be getting to if we had let her.
I'll be quiet.
Ariel, back to you.
Thanks, Alan. This is Ariel again. The two new public comments we have right now, one is about a phase one assessment of the competitive effects associated with the new GTLD program. And that will close on November the 7th. And the second new one is the IAG initial report and proposed revisions to the ICANN procedure for who is conflicts with privacy laws. And I think that's the one Holly is mentioning. And that will close on November the 17th.
Okay, thank you. I think I heard a volunteer from Holly and Carlton to work on the second one. Is there anyone else who demands to be able to work on it also and do the work? Nobody else in this group. Holly, do you want us to make a general solicitation, or are you happy that the two of you are sufficient, plus whatever comments other people make?
I don't think anybody else is sort of been living and breathing who is. I think it would make a lot of sense, since Carlton and I have been part of this working group for however long, that we draft something and then open it up for comment.
Is there any disagreement in this group?
This is Ariel speaking. It's not a disagreement, but Christopher Wilkinson sent staff an email and said he is also interested in drafting something for that public comment.
I will then, can you reply that Holly and Carlton will be the main drafters, but we would be delighted if he would contribute.
Okay.
And Holly, you may want to reach out to him in advance and say,
if
he can get something to you within a week or so, then you'll look at it.
And
consider how it fits in with our general position.
Yep.
Thank you.
I think it will.
And on the new GTLD one, this is the phase one assessment of competitive effects. This isn't a PDP. This is what level is this at? I haven't looked at the public comment at all. Is this leading to an issue report, or where in what process is this?
Yes.
Anyone know? Anyone taking the chance to look at it? Taking the time to look at it, rather? Ariel has the pointer in the list in the chat. Let's see what that says. So this is part of this is a lead-in to the CCT AOC review.
Oh, okay.
So we're looking for comments on this document, which will then lead into the review. Carlton has sent a notice to me, I believe, saying he plans to apply for the CCT review. I don't know how many other people were going to be applying for it.
I will be, Cheryl.
Okay. Not clear how many people we have on it, of course. They perhaps wisely do not announce ahead of time what the mix will be. Anyone have any desire to look at this? Could I ask perhaps Cheryl to take a quick glance and see whether you think this is something we need to comment on? That doesn't necessarily mean you're the one who has to comment on it, though.
Yep, I shall.
Thank you. Back to you, Ariel. Anything else?
This is Ariel speaking, nothing else. And also, Marina put in the chat, I think Marina also is interested in working on that one, the phase one public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then I guess I would ask for an assessment from Maureen as well. Is Leon on the call yet? He is not. Do we have a prognosis for when he's likely to be on the call? Gisela or someone who said he was on another call?
Sorry, Alan, I'm trying to get hold of Leon on Skype. I haven't yet had an estimated time of arrival. Thank you.
Okay. All right, then we'll start with the CCWG, but at least one of the items is one that I'd like him for, so we may take a break and wait till he comes on. There is a document that is linked to the CCWG agenda, and if we could have that displayed, please. This is a document that was shared with chairs on a meeting earlier this week, that is chairs of the ACs, SOs, stakeholder group, RALOs, and such. So some of you have already seen this. Some of you may not have seen it. I'm not quite sure. I'm assuming there are at least a few people on this call who have not seen it, and unless everyone shouts me down and says, don't talk about it, I will try to talk about it a little bit. The first slide is effects of delays on the CCWG delivering a proposal on the overall transition implementation. Now, this is a timeline associated with what we believe to be the actual work to be done. It is not a political statement of how the U.S. government will approve things, although, of course, it is factored into the overall process. There are a number of scenarios. One is that we would deliver the report to the NTIA in November. It is quite clear that at this point it is not going to be delivered out of Dublin. There is too much contention, too much disagreement, and too much work to be completed on details, even if there weren't disagreement, to have it completed before Dublin. We are currently in the process of reviewing public comments. We are not even at the stage for some of the aspects of trying to craft new words based on the public comments, and there's still some substantive decisions to be made because of disagreements within the comments with what is in the published document. And that's disagreements not only by the ICANN board, but by other parts of the community. So it's quite clear we will not have something ready for approval by the ACs and SOs in Dublin unless somehow a miracle happens, and I'm not counting on that miracle. So the first scenario is what happens if, and we've now cut off part of it, which really is not acceptable. Could we see the whole slide, please, without the right part cut off? At least on my screen, the right part is cut off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we scroll it?
Well, now you can scroll it and shrink your own, set your own size, so you should be able to see all of it if you adjust it appropriately. So the first slide says we essentially come to close agreement in Dublin. We debate the each AC and SO can talk about the core of the proposal. The proposal will be finalized within a few weeks of Dublin, and the community can make decisions intersessionally on whether to approve it or not. Both the GAC and the CCNSO have made it quite clear that such approval in between ICANN meetings might be possible if the changes that come after Dublin are really details and not substantive. They have equally made it clear that it's pretty impossible if the changes are substantive. The second scenario presumes what would have to be a fourth ICANN meeting of the year to be held on short notice at the beginning of December.
Oof.
That has not been scheduled. There have been no locations talked about or dates talked about that I am aware of, but the concept has been mentioned. And so that assumes it. You'll notice in the first scenario there is a small buffer. In the second scenario there is no buffer. If you go past September 2016, then the contract has to be renewed, and you're talking about substantive discussions that are taking place at a time when the U.S. election is in the midst of its major debates, and there are absolutely no one who will predict what's going to turn out at that point. There are obviously a lot of issues related to the approval of this whole transition by the U.S. government, but the more you go into the election process, the less likely it becomes. So purely looking at the work that has to be done within ICANN and within the U.S. government, in the second scenario, there is essentially no buffer. If you start delaying it even more, then we go into where the last part of the implementation is within the U.S., the hottest time in the U.S. Congress. The Congress will not likely be able to act. And, you know, there are too many hot potatoes that are being tossed around by candidates at that point. And clearly it is, we're in a red phase, and the transition is much less likely to happen. At this point, in the two top scenarios, Fadi has, you know, claimed it's orange. You know, it's not all warm, but it might still happen. Next slide, please. Everyone can do their own, so flip down to number two. Number two are a number of projected risks if we do not make the transition. The first one is simply within ICANN. Everyone's nerves will be very raw. There will be even less trust. There will be more dissatisfaction, and who knows how it's going to unfold. The second one is the belief that the two other technical communities may well decide that if ICANN cannot get its act together over this kind of thing, then do we want to trust them to oversee IANA? The third one is an issue within the overall world internet governance that essentially says if ICANN could not, in the multi-stakeholder model, could not affect this, should we be trusting it, period? And there are significant indications that many countries, including some of whom, and my screen just refreshed and the image changed. I don't know if that happened to everyone. Many countries, including some of those that have come onto our side recently, might abandon us. That's somewhat related to the fourth one. And, of course, the Internet Governance Forum, the IGF, is up for renewal in December of this year, and that is one of the other main multi-stakeholder efforts that is going on in the world, and that, too, may suffer some consequences of it. And lastly, I'll let you read it for yourself because they all mingle together. This was immediately, of course, deemed to be, FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt introduced to try to compel people to agree. I've been talking about some of these things for quite a while, and I'm not the only one, of course, And so I really don't think that they're complete figments of someone's imagination to scare people. I think they're real. Even number two, which people said, why would they leave now if they haven't left until now? I've had a number of conversations which indicate that indeed the operational communities are having these discussions. And there is a risk of them leaving and fracturing IANA. So, Olivia, you have your hand up. Is it on this slide in general or in particular or the overall topic?
Thanks, Alan. It's Olivia speaking. It's on the point you're making.
Okay,
it's on the
ahead.
Point you're making. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thanks, Alan. It's on the point you're making. I've heard exactly the same. I've had some people from at least one of the other operational communities telling me, why in the world is ICANN, with all its lawyers, not able to actually do something that is straightforward that we managed to do very quickly? This is ridiculous. We need to get on with it. And so the risks are real. I entirely agree with the points which are developed here. You mentioned that some were saying that this is FUD. Was the meeting that you attended under Chatham House rules, or is it possible to identify who is saying that this is FUD? Because they either have no idea what they're talking about, or they are. There is another agenda here.
The only person who has implied it, no one has used the acronym that I'm aware of, but there's a message on the CCWG list from Avery, which essentially puts this into question. I can point you to the message that came in sometime yesterday, along with the 200 other messages that came in.
I mean, there are risks. I mean, maybe not to that extent, but these are risks, and I'm speaking here as someone who has followed the processes in the WESIS review and the renewal of the IGF. Since I do co-chair the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance, we are particularly concerned and obviously are preparing for the events in New York that will take place at the same time as the ICANN week. When we are in Dublin, there will be the WESIS in New York, and obviously we are preparing for potential questions on this and trying to reassure everyone that things are on track. Now, obviously, the risk is that it won't be, and that, of course, has a whole number of other repercussions which are very well laid out on this document that we have on the sheet.
Thank you. Yeah, the meeting I was at yesterday was a Canadian WSIS Plus 10 prep meeting, and yes, it was discussed there as well.
Linda?
Yep. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. Part of what I'm going to say I'm going to declare under Chatham House, but that's okay. I don't want to go in camera for it, but I do request Chatham House. I believe that the risks are real. It's all right. I believe the risks are real. I agree with both you and Olivier. I don't believe these risks are recently identified. Suggest that these risks have been reality. In fact, some of them have been reality throughout the process from at least the midpoint on. I am probably not quite so colourful in the orange, in my personal opinion, and I would certainly be on the optimistic side of things that we, without any padding, may very well be able to manage on a scenario two approach. And maybe a little bit of orange might make people knuckle down, and that's fine. As I have said any number of times, however, I do believe that we need to, and anything I have heard from the ALAC ad hoc working group has not been counter to this opinion, go for the simplest possible model that gives us the basis for the effectiveness that the community wants. And to that end, I think if we can negotiate probably far closer to some of what the board is saying, but not in a at bended knee and kowtowed behavioural way, we may just pull this off. I certainly think it is worthwhile doing, but I do believe the risks are real. You mentioned the possibility of other agendas.
it is highly probable, according to people who have spoken to me, and that their own requests for confidentiality, that there is certainly some very significant agendas, and that at least in those conversations, they have identified, even those amongst the leadership, not our Leon, I will hasten to add, of the CCWG, who are in fact somewhat more likely to be, I'm being as polite as I can be, running a clever interference rather than an actual intention to end game of success. So there are some very significant interests at play here, and even if we get it all perfectly right and handed out our homework in on time, it is still quite possible that NTIA will find it as a concept less than fully baked and without sufficient detail and documentation, and simply choose not to put it into Congress discussion anyway. But I do think it's real, but I don't think it's impossible that we can pull it off, and I think it's well worth trying to. But are there wheels within wheels, as far as I can tell? Some very seriously well-funded ones, yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Cheryl, I agree with your position 100%. I don't think there is any opposition within at large that I have heard on our many, many calls to going ahead with that position. Let's go through the rest of the slides, and then I'll make one or two other comments. That's a slide that Fadi came up with, which identifies areas that people believe we are generally in agreement on, although not necessarily on the details on some of them, and the two latter boxes are ones where there are still significant questions. I think even on the ones where we are in general agreement, the details still need to be written, and there may be some significant disagreement between the board anyway and the CWG on what on exactly how to flesh out those details. The next slide is, that's discussion on removal, a specific one on removal of directors and how enforceable it is. I don't think it needs a lot of discussion in this forum. And I'm not even sure what this last slide is, because it was added after I looked at it to begin with. So I'm not going to speak to it. If anyone else wants to, you certainly can. The second last slide. And the last one is essentially things that we either can do or not do. And if we don't succeed in all of these, then we're likely not to have a transition. So, there's a lot of work to be done. My personal feeling, and I'm interested in hearing from anyone else who has been actively participating, I think the board has done less than a stellar job at actually interacting. They are certainly present on working group meetings right now, but I sense most of what they're doing is preaching and saying what it is they're expecting and not trying to understand what the community is saying and wanting and seeing if we can find common ground. I've made that clear to a few directors, and I would, if anyone agrees with me, I would strongly suggest other people do that as well. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you very much. As I see it, I am a little bit pessimistic. I spoke with several board directors, and I felt that they really stick to their MAM, and they are not ready to accept anything else. I am a little bit, disappointed, because I find their proposal better than ours, the CCWG, but their proposal cannot fly because there are problems also in their proposal. I do think that the board has to move their position a little bit, because the feeling that the CCWG members are having now more and more is that the board is is obliging them to speak or to say what they want, to do what they want. And this is a very frustrating feeling that will push even the moderated people, such as Avril, be more extremist in that position. If the board doesn't make, doesn't show some flexibility, and I have a lot of proposals, and I think that they can reach what they want, not through the MEM, but through something that may be acceptable, and that that may make the CCWG members feel that they are doing their job and they are not obliged to follow what the board says. So I urge you, I know that you have also a very good relationship with the board members, I urge you also to do the same and ask them to accept to be more flexible. And we are ready to give them a lot of proposals that may make them reach what they want without being so rigid and so, how to say, arrogant. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Catanoblon speaking. I unfortunately haven't been able to follow the CCWG's discussions in the past few days, but have the board at least been asked by the CCWG about what their red lines were and whether there was the ability to meet those red lines? Because the way that I see it at the moment is the board is saying one thing, the CCWG is saying another thing. There was a face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles, which was not a negotiation, and I think that's a strategic error. That's maybe just my personal view on this. And we're basically stalling at the moment with tensions rising, whilst I don't think that's helpful. There needs to be a case of understanding where the red lines are and seeing if we can work around them. If we cannot work around the red lines of each party, then there needs to be another solution found. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. All I can say is if you have the ear of any directors, say it. I certainly am doing that. One of the problems I sense is that the board put together this proposal. There are many, you know, despite their claim that they're reacting to the CWG proposal, which has many unspecified things in it, theirs has many unspecified things in it. And there is no easy way for a single board member to fix that, because the whole board is going to have to agree on something before it can be definitively acceptable to the whole board. And they don't seem to have a mechanism to do that on the short term. So everyone is speaking on their own behalf. No directors feel really comfortable disagreeing with anything in the proposal, even if they might. And it's not clear how one goes forward in that sense. There was a discussion on one of the meetings on how does one get consensus of the ACs and SOs. And there have been definitive statements saying you can't vote, which means you can't count them. And then short of unanimity, which I don't think anyone is imagining for at least some of the powers, you have to define how to get consensus, and that at least means telling me how many ACs and SOs there need to be in or out of the game. And yet they haven't thought through these questions. We are told that the designator model is off the table because of statutory rights. Our lawyers tell us the only statutory right associated with designators is the right to appoint directors and remove directors. So it's not clear what they're referring to. We have been told that if only the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the ALAC are willing to participate, that's not sufficiently representative of the community. But I've heard no methodology about how do we bring the other ones into the community and how do we get the other ones to participate if they say no. So we seem to be in catch, you know, in unmovable positions and not a lot of innovative thinking. And I, too, am optimistic because we seem to be getting closer in what some of the more radical people within the GNS, within the CCWG are saying, but there's still a huge gap, and I don't know how we close that one. You know, there is certainly a worry of proposals like the one that Jonathan Zook made of, well, let's get almost nothing except the ability to spill the board, and the day after transition, we'll just kill the board and get new directors that will put in what we want. That kind of threat doesn't do anything to warm the hearts of people who are worried about ICANN's future. So there's work to be done. I think it's got to be almost one-on-one in some cases. Olivier, since I'm talking, I assume your hand is down, my hand is going down, and Tijani's is back up. Go ahead, Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I think that the problem is not only between the board members and the CCWG members. It is also between John's Day and our concept. It is now a problem for John's Day to accept the point of view of our lawyers. And at the beginning, I think that they won't ask John's Day to come up with this, with their proposal and with this justification. And now I don't think that John's Day will accept to be wrong in any case. So there is two problems. We have a problem with the board members, but we have also a problem with John's Day. Thank you.
Well, I guess I don't see that as a problem with John's Day. They're doing what they're paid to do. It's up to the board to decide what they want to do. And I don't know how to craft that. I don't know how to change that. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Kaipanablow speaking. And I'm going to play the, my point of view is actually very different from this one. I think that Jones Day, as far as ICANN is concerned, is the law firm that has created ICANN the way that it has. It has drafted the bylaws the way that it has and so on for various reasons, including political reasons in Washington, D.C. And they are probably the best suited to know what is best for ICANN, short of whoever else was some of the founder members and people that worked to create this organization. So when one says, well, Jones Day is the problem, I have a real concern that this is not the case. I think that the interests of Jones Day at the moment is to preserve or to make sure that mistakes today are not made that were avoided in the past or that might have been made in the past and that already are known as to being potential mistakes that would bring capture in ICANN. And at the same time, as I have said in the past, the issue is an issue of control. And when it comes down to the U.S. private sector wanting to establish control of ICANN in one way or another, when the U.S. government decides to take a step back, I think that politically speaking, even if those things were finally pushed through the board and even if the NTIA was going to agree to that, there would be serious political pushback elsewhere on this thing. I certainly, in Europe, I have heard some pretty serious criticism of the views that were put forth by some members of the CCWG, the ones that are actually most vehement against the board pushback. So I think one has to be aware of that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we're all aware of that. There's no claim that there's unanimity in the CCWG of the more moderate people, or at least more reasonable people, there does seem to be some agreement, but we're still in a problem. We still have a problem in a problem mode, there's no question. Anyone else want to weigh in on this? I had one other issue I don't want to raise, but it really needs Leon, so I'm going to defer. Yes, go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. I believe that some of the more intractable attitude and the guidance and leadership that is being spawned from that somewhat intractable attitude to to anything that is coming out of the board or Jones Day on principle is a function of, you know, we happen to be humans, we happen to be volunteers, and people put an awful lot of work into things. They don't like being apparently criticised, and particularly at what can appear to arguably be a bit of a last-minute input from a key stakeholder. I think that that is something we should be using Leon and myself to manage if the ALAC believes that that is an issue that needs to be solved. I think a number of the co-chairs at various times have probably taken too hard a line and have been unwilling to negotiate as they should in a fair and neutral and impartial manner. And so to that end, we probably do need to make sure that they're aware that should the AC have certain beliefs and certain desires, that they are effectively transmitted without fear or favour. How that will go down with the rest of CCWG, I could not predict. But I think if it's our beliefs, then it needs to be said. And I'm quite sure, well, you all know I'll stand up for it, and I'm quite sure Leon would do so as well. However, I also think that it's important to get those questions that Alan in particular was articulating. Let's get to the table, let's get to details. Let's try and find the best bits of whatever models have been proposed from whatever public comments, including that of the board, has come in, and see if we can, you know, pardon my pun, build a better model that will work, but in the simplest possible way, with the least amount of change or bylaw effect from what we have now as the current ICANN. And of course, that's, as you'll all remember, pretty much where ALAC started its views 9 months ago. However, the other thing I just want to make clear was that it was a deliberate decision to not negotiate with the board in Los Angeles. It was a decision of the leadership to, based on criticisms from CWG members. There are a number of very vociferous and influential CWG members who, you know, the board shouldn't even be classified as having viable input, let alone be taken as seriously as I certainly believe their opinions have to be, and I suspect many others do as well. So it was, albeit probably not a smart one in retrospect, a deliberate decision to treat the board advice along with all the other advice and to ensure that it was not a negotiation. If it had have been, we might be in a different position now, and may we perhaps have to do that still. I think if that comes up as a proposal, I would strongly recommend that we support that, something not dissimilar to when the board and GAC sat down and sorted out in fairly short order an understanding of where the differences and commonalities were with new GTLD aspects some time back. So that said, I also forgot to mention earlier in my earlier intervention, Alan, that at the recent AUIGF, and I'm not sure if Holly was in the room for that or if she was in one of the other workshops, but at our departmental, our government department that is charged with all things internet, the Department of Communications and the Arts, and the people who serve in all business IGF and ICANN matters, and ITU matters, they publicly reiterated their support for the multi-stakeholder model and their interest in seeing something wrought out of perhaps a melding of the MEM and the single member model, but they are less concerned as a government as to exactly what the model is, but rather that it is effective and minimalist. So that's it from me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl. While I know you're still on the line, I have to talk to you on another issue. How do I reach you after this call? Are you at home?
I am, and if you can call immediately, I do have a commitment, which is what I've been managing to.
I will call you on your telephone immediately after. Thank you. Olivia, I see your hand up. I just wanted to make clear, because Cheryl has alluded to what the ALAC position is, and I want to make my position very clear, and it's not the ALAC position, it's Alan Greenberg's position. I am moderately satisfied with most aspects of what the board has put on the table. Not that I think it's optimal, but I can accept that there are two parts of it that I think are problematic at this point. One is the concept that chairs have to act personally on behalf of their ACs and SOs. I think that is something that at least some chairs are going to choose not to do, to risk their personal well-being and their personal time on doing this. And second of all, there is a significant problem that when the chair changes and chairs are not for life, that there is no way to change a lawsuit or an IRP to belong to the next chair instead. So to some extent, you're accepting this as a job for life when you're taking it, and I think it's just a non-starter. The second issue is it's become apparent. I would have sworn that the CWG required a veto of the IANA budget. It turns out that the CWG, in its wisdom, with no rationale given, requires a veto of the ICANN budget, which is not part of the board approval. That is there in the document, both the CWG and the ICG document. It's really clear. We have a problem there, I'm afraid, and I don't know how to resolve that one. Olivier, your call. You're next. And we really do have to go on to other parts of this agenda soon, so go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crapin-Oblon speaking. Just on the point you've just made now, I have discussed this with a number of people, and it appears that this might well have been an oversight and an error. So,
I have no doubt it.
And I'm saying, Olivier, the question is, can the CWG make the amendment? And there might be a discussion in a future call that might be a case of, well, is it possible to amend? Is it not? But it's not, because it's gone to the ICG. And so if it has gone to the ICG, then it would make a whole number of problems. So there are questions on this. On the points that Cheryl has made, I agree with all the points that she has made. Two more points I'd like to add. The first, some feedback I've heard in a number of meetings I have held in Europe recently. One being, why is the CCWG so influenced by the participants and not enough by the members of the CCWG? I know there was the idea of having members and anybody else could participate, and it seems that a lot of the actual traction and pulling and pushing is being undertaken by the participants. Secondly, there are some, I don't want to say either members or participants, there are some interventions in there which point to the fact that there are some that might actually not be working towards a solution, whose goal is to actually not have a solution. And that is another big concern. Thank you.
Olivia, I believe Cheryl said exactly that, although perhaps in more polite words. There is absolutely no question that that is the case. And even among those who want to see accountability, there are a significant, not a non-zero number, who don't care about transition and simply are in this for accountability. Those are people who have said it publicly. So we have a variety of number of factions. Is there anyone else who wants to get in on this before we go on with the next item on the agenda? Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, we will go on. The next one is the ICANN 54. I will first have a very brief discussion on the recent announcement, and that's today, that was made at the potential changes to the agenda in light of the CCWG problems. And if we could put up the document that is linked off of item A of the agenda, item A of the item on the
ICANN54 agenda. This is essentially a display of the current, what you see on the right now is the current sessions that are allocated to the CWG. There are two options. One is some small changes and one is some major changes. If we could scroll to the, okay, you can scroll down yourself now to the second table. That shows essentially we're adding two plenary sessions. Two plenary sessions, and honestly, I do not know what plenary sessions are. I have asked David Olive, which is where this document came from, exactly what he means by plenary sessions. My understanding was we were trying to add more CCWG working sessions to give us more time to come to closure. That hasn't happened. There are some working sessions, some working sub-teams allocated on Saturday morning, which clearly would be hard for at-large people to attend, but nevertheless, but I've seen no additional CCWG sessions. So basically this is adding, they've cleared off the chair's discussion on Friday afternoon before the ICANN meeting. So anyone who is there can participate in the CCWG without having to leave several hours earlier to go to the to the meeting that FAUDI normally has with ACSO, RALO, SG, whatever chairs. They have added the plenary sessions, are suggesting to add the plenary sessions right now, and those are in Monday afternoon. I would presume that they are taking away the hot topic session and one or two other ones and making way for those. Similarly, on Wednesday, there's late in the afternoon session. If you scroll down and look at the third option, and this is currently out for comments from chairs, they have added in, essentially taken a large part of Tuesday out and said more plenary sessions. So these are basically doing away with constituency day for anyone involved in who wants to be involved in these discussions. Again, I don't know what plenary session means. So I'm not quite sure what it is they're proposing, but these are currently on the table and might in fact happen. I'm guessing that the B option will be the one taken and not the C one, but I don't know that for a fact. And with that, I'll turn it over to Gisela to go through our agenda, which may be turned on its head by these changes. But I would appreciate input from the ALT on whether they have any particular favorite between A, B, and C. There's a meeting Monday morning, my time, to talk about this, so I would appreciate input from the ALT before then if you have any opinions. And if I find out what a plenary discussion is, I will let you know so you can actually make an informed decision instead of a random one. If there are no particular issues to talk about right now, then I'll turn it over to Gisela.
Just before you do, Alan, if I may.
Yes, go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. I was busy typing. I'll still hit send. The plenary session, as I understand it, is exactly as you've outlined, Olivier, in the chat, and that is a large auditorium where it is for everyone to not necessarily step into the mic and lobby, but to be brought along in a singular discussion and to contribute and have interactions and interventions. The reason being, if I may try and channel some of the board members I have spoken to, is the somewhat developing doubt that the CCWG continues to be fully representative of the ICANN community as a whole, and that it would only be by turning the primary discussions and developing outcomes out of the hopefully by then fairly narrowed issues of difference and to try and measure degrees of consensus with something that is closer to the community as a whole,
in this case those that are attending the ICANN 54 meeting, that sufficient faith both within parts of our organisation, specifically in the board, and more importantly beyond our organisation, would believe that it is a genuine consensus outcome, assuming we come to one. So, yep, that's what it is, which means C may very well be a possibility element. Thank you very much.
I'll be quite candid in my question to David. I asked, I imagined it was what you were describing, and I worded it somewhat differently. I said, is this going to be an open forum-like opportunity for people to give two-minute sound bites? Which may be an interesting prelude to CCWG discussions. I'm not sure it's a reasonable follow-on to the CCWG discussions, because I don't know how you integrate those things into any process. But we'll see. Gisela, it's all yours for whatever you'd like to make of it.
Alan, I will be very quickly going over some of the outstanding issues.
Okay, it's not Gisela, it's Heidi.
Yes, because I handle agendas and she does the scheduling.
I'm
so just some really quick points to note, and then I want to have a discussion more on the board questions and the development session. But just a friendly reminder to please discuss the agenda for the ALP, a closed session on Saturday. That remains without an agenda at the moment. Secondly, there is a request of sorts from Rinalia that she would, in addition to meeting with the ALAC and regional leaders on Sunday on the CEO search criteria update, but she would also like to meet with the ALP and the railroad chairs sometime on Saturday, if at all possible. So I don't know if you want to consider that.
I have no problem with it, as the schedule has to be put together. I don't have a problem with that, but keep it on your to-do list to make sure we don't forget it.
Okay, so that you would like that to be added to the strategy session rather than the ALP, is that correct?
I would think so.
Okay, I'll do that.
ALP has 1 hour or something. We don't have time for guests at this point, I'm afraid.
Correct. And then the third item is just a reminder of where we should put the item, the role of voluntary practices in combating abuse and illegal activity. There was a call for membership there. We do have several slots that just state policy TBD, policy topic TBD, so we can easily slot that in.
Okay. Sorry, Heidi. You got garbled from my point of view at the beginning of it. What's the topic you're talking about?
Role of voluntary practices in combating abuse and illegal activity. There's a meeting on that on Wednesday at between 10 and 11:15, and there was a call for members for that.
Okay. Then let's try to put that on Saturday.
Okay, on Saturday as well. Okay, really from my end, that is it for the agendas. Everything is coming along. People, for the most part, have confirmed Sunday morning might be a bit of a just a switch between FADI and the GSC due to some board briefings, but that's everything else is coming along. So
okay.
If you want to turn to the next item.
Well, the item on questions for the board, I think we need, assuming Tuesday, the board sessions do not disappear completely on Tuesday, then there may well be an opportunity to talk to the board. I don't know what the format is going to be. They have not proposed any subjects for us. The question is, what do we want to talk to them about? I presume there is a wiki space for this right now.
Yes, it is linked to the agenda.
Okay. You may want to put it in the chat. I welcome suggestions for that. I have not had the time to even think about it and to come up with any. I will try over the weekend to at least put some ideas out, but if anyone else has any, please go right ahead. Anything else on the... on Dublin agenda or related things.
Alan, this is Heidi.
Yes, go ahead.
The third item was the development agenda.
Ah, and I didn't send that out to the ALT, and I should. We have a tentative agenda, and a description of the events. I will send it out today. Let me make a note to do it. I should have done it yesterday, but I didn't. If you have any comments or real concerns about it, let me know. I have told
Lizzie Posey, I believe her name is, yes.
Okay. The person who will be doing, who will be facilitating it, that we may well get some other changes as a result of the ALT comments, but, you know, try to focus on things which you think are really make and break issues, not just minor wordings. We can adjust the wordings as we go along, but I'm not particularly, you know, the question is, what, if there's any directional changes, we need to know what they are. The agenda that she put together was modified exhaustively by Heidi with some work from Cheryl, who happened to be in the ICANN office, and then by me. I think it now reflects the kinds of things we want to do. The main changes we made actually were terminology, because she really didn't understand our group well enough to phrase things properly. The other thing to note that I hadn't realized until I did the arithmetic is we are having the largest turnover in the ALAC that I believe I have ever seen. There are 7 new members coming onto the ALAC.
Ooh.
That is a huge change. So it's going to be interesting. And I think if we scheduled a team-building meeting for any new ALAC, we probably did it for the right one. And hopefully it'll have some effect. I think that's all I have right now on that one. Anything else on the ICANN 54 before we go on? Cheryl, go ahead.
That is it.
Cheryl, go ahead.
Cheryl, for the record, just briefly with these that draft you put up earlier, even with the A, the no change, I was unaware that we were having breakout sessions for CCWG on the Saturday. Now, considering I would have thought myself at least tangentially still related to the leadership team of the CCWG, I find that, well, shall we say, wryly amusing. But that's okay. We will be flexible and we will work with that. But it does mean that I may very well be not in a position to do some of the reporting and interaction that is planned for me. So we are all going to, particularly with Leon and I, going to have to be as flexible as we can be. But also, this will mean Alan, Tijani, Sebastian, there is the members who I think need to make sure that regardless of what's chosen, that they've got to be in the room, because things could move very, very quickly. And I guess you might, Alan, need to consider appointing well in advance, you know, whom from your ALT can then act in chairing capacity, because it could be at very short notice that you and your deputies are out of the room. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Noted. Unfortunately, a significant part of that ALT are among those people. Just for clarity, there have been no working breakout sessions scheduled by the WP1234. There has been room and space allocated to allow them to. So perhaps a subtle difference. And I think that was discussed in at least some meetings that I've been present at. All right, I think we are done with that. The next item is the leadership for the forthcoming year. I have an email which I will be sending out shortly after this meeting saying that despite the questions about my sanity, I am willing to serve for a second year. The rules of procedure allow an elected chair to serve for a second year on his or her choice, if still on the ALAC and willing to serve. And at this point, I am saying yes. I'm not quite sure why, but I guess it's the huge amount of credit that I'm given by everyone for doing such a superb job.
That and the fact that I love being exhausted. those are both jokes, so sorry. The past chairs have some idea of why I am saying some of this. But yes, I will announce that I will continue. We will have to select the ALT. The staff will be issuing a call for nominations. There is a seven-day nomination period, and that will be proceeding soon after the announcement. Because of the huge turnover, there in fact is not an awful lot of choice, so there won't be a lot of surprises. There may be one or two surprises, but certainly not a lot. And I don't think I have anything else to say on that one. Number 7 is any other business. Do we have any other business? Cheryl has one, and I have one. One thing I want to raise with, now that Leon is here, it goes back to the CCWG. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you. A very brief inquiry, probably to staff. I just wanted to confirm with my nominating committee hat on that the new hires, the people that we've appointed to the ALAC, are able to attend Dublin. I just wanted to know, were any of them only going to be able to be remote participants, or is there anything that we need to do to make the magic happen? That's all.
Okay. At this point, I believe all the new NOMCOM appointees will be there for the full time. There were some significant communications problems, so that at least one of the attendees was not aware of our Saturday session or the Friday session. The communication he had received was quite insufficient. I have talked to all three of the new NOMCOM I've talked to three of the new appointees, two from the NOMCOM and one, the three from the NOMCOM. I have not talked explicitly about Leon, whether he knows when he has to be there or not. I sort of presumed he did. But I have talked to them. I think we have an interesting group of people. We have a couple that I think will do really well, and we'll hope on the rest. The only question of attendance at this point is whether the new ALAC member from Latin America Caribbean will be able to either participate or when he will show up. There is still some question, and Sylvia, maybe you can answer. Do we know for sure that he has submitted his visa application? Is Sylvia with us? Does Heidi know?
Yes. So the latest is yes. The embassy in Ireland has the Irish embassy in Mexico City does have the application, and staff have paid the application fee, so it should be processed relatively quickly.
Okay, and we think they are trying to do better than the two-week interval they originally had quoted.
Yes. I think it's going to be early, mid-next week or even so. But we're going to count until the end of the week.
So he may even be there for the Saturday session. Well, that remains to be seen. So we may have a full complement of people. We're crossing our fingers. The only other issue is one that I wanted to mention with Leon, and it's one of the CCWG issues that came up at the very end of the Los Angeles meeting, when the U.S. government representative suggested that you're all familiar, I think, with Stress Test 18, which put a restriction on when the GAC advice would be treated under the bylaws as the special advice which needs to be negotiated if the board does not agree with it. And the original words in the proposed bylaw change said it must, that only advice that was decided by GAC consensus would be eligible for this treatment. The U.S. government representative at that point said, we want something more. We want it to be GAC advice developed by consensus under the current consensus rule. That is, even if the GAC changes its definition of consensus, it would only apply if the current rule was followed. It never was clear whether this was really a U.S. government requirement where they would suggest transition failed if we didn't do this. It was tossed out as a comment and then never commented on again. And I'm just wondering, Leon, do you have any insight as to, is this a new U.S. government requirement?
Thank you very much, Alan. This is Leon. And I don't have more information than you do, unfortunately. I believe that, of course, stressless aging is of the essence for U.S. government, especially in TIA. But there are mixed signals from my recollection of the LA meeting, because I remember the GAC representative said some things, and she was collaborating with the GAC, with other GAC members in trying to provide an alternative wording or at least a position from the GAC on stress test 18. But then they said that even though that the United States representative in the GAC was part of that team, that the United States did not, I don't want to say support, but they did not endorse the words or the wording that the GAC were presenting. So it kind of confused me, and I think it confused, of course, some other people. But I'd say that it definitely is something that I perceive as a deal breaker. If we don't address the stress test 18 properly, this could lead, of course, to the NTIA rejecting any proposal that we come up to.
And for that reason, though, I think we need to know whether it is the original stress test 18 with the original proposed bylaw change that is in our current proposal, or is the new version that Suzanne presented that is the real one? Not something we can discuss, we can debate here, but the co-chairs may want to ask which is the real one.
Alan, Cheryl?
Yes, Cheryl, go ahead.
Just on that, the stress test working party met through the week, and unsurprisingly, perhaps, we had an excellent turn up from government. I think there's about, 14 of them. We did discuss stress test 18 amongst the public comments for the rest of our stress tests as well. We are expecting to rewrite a new version, which will include a different rationale and certain aspects of the existing one to be deleted. But still have not seen any evidence that we will, before Dublin, have text coming out from GAC. So we're going to put together a draft that we hope will at least act as a straw man for discussion in Dublin, and trust that the co-chairs will give us time on the Friday to... or at some other point, depending on which one of these ABC options comes out, to workshop that correctly and satisfy the continuing, as I understand it, NTIA requirement that a stress test 18 exists, in other words, a stress test that deals with this particular issue, but that the wording is likely to be highly modified or different from what we have now.
And you have a high degree of confidence that the target word bylaw changes are indeed the ones the NTIA wants and not something different from that.
That is our current understanding, but
okay.
We live in interesting times.
We do indeed. Thank you. Olivier, you're on, and then I would really like to call the meeting to a close. We've used up almost the full period allocated, and some of us have some other things we still need to do before we're allowed to go to sleep tonight. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capon-Ablon speaking, and the little bird told me that as far as the GAC is concerned, it will probably be best for the GAC to discuss this when they meet face-to-face. That is likely to be a big topic for them. And it might even be behind closed doors. So, yeah.
Understood. My only question is, do they know what they're discussing? That was the question. Let's not try to answer it today.
I have no idea whether they know what they're discussing, but certainly some people will know what they're discussing. Certainly some countries know what they are discussing, and it's not entirely sure. The only thing that I've been told, or that seems clear, even though some might not even know what we're discussing, is that the GAC makes its own decisions about the GAC.
There you go.
Thank you, Olivier. With no other hands up, no other comments, I call this meeting to a close. Thank you all very much. And keep tuned on all these issues. It's going to get more interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Uh-huh. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you,
everyone. On today's call, we look forward to seeing you in Dublin next week. Safe travels to everyone. Bye-bye.